Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
USA. The Starlight Parade is a popular summer event in Portland, Oregon, and one of the highlights of the annual Portland Rose Festival. On May 31st, Falun Dafa practitioners once again joined the parade with their intricately designed, beautifully crafted Fa Boat Float. Other parade team members took photos with it prior to the parade and commented, "Your float is beautiful." Practitioners arrived at the assembly site earlier in the day to do Falun Dafa exercises and hand out small paper lotus flowers and informational leaflets about the practice to onlookers. Along the parade route, cheers like "Falun Dafa" could be heard from the crowd. Some spectators clapped, took photos, gave thumbs up, or even bowed and put their hands together in prayer pose to show respect. Many people followed along with the exercise movements as practitioners did them on the float. The event was broadcast live by Fox 12 and KGW. One Fox 12 host said of the Falun Dafa entry, "They bring peace, harmony, and balance to the Starlight Parade. It's truly beautiful. I look forward to seeing this float every year."
South Africa. Practitioners introduced Falun Dafa at well-known landmarks in the city of Cape Town from late May to early June. One famous attraction is Table Mountain, which is known for its flat top and breathtaking views of the Cape Peninsula. Standing at 1,800 meters above sea level and featuring cable cars and hiking trails, Table Mountain is the most visited national park in South Africa. Two brothers from the Zulu ethnic group in Eastern Cape Province were delighted to see Falun Dafa banners on Table Mountain. They greeted practitioners warmly and cordially said, "Falun Dafa is good," and helped hold the banner. Another of South Africa's famous landmarks, the Cape of Good Hope, is located at the southern tip of the Cape's peninsula. Practitioners went to the landmark near the Atlantic side and displayed banners, as well as at Lookout Tower. Many tourists who passed by stopped to speak with them, including two sisters from Beijing. When the pair were offered information materials, the sisters gladly accepted them and quit the CCP and its affiliated organizations.
Sweden. In the month of May, the Nobel Museum near the old city of Stockholm is always filled with tourists every Friday and Saturday during May. Falun Dafa practitioners hold events on the weekend in front of the museum to introduce Falun Dafa to passersby, raise awareness about the ongoing persecution of Dafa in China, and collect signatures on a petition calling for an end to the suppression. On May 31st, practitioners demonstrated the exercises and provided truth clarification materials in different languages to passersby. The graceful exercise music and the peaceful scene caused many people to pause and watch, take photos, and inquire about how they could help stop the persecution. People also took the truth clarification materials with them after signing the petition, saying that they wanted to help spread the goodness of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, as well as information about the persecution with friends and family. Many people showed interest in the practice and learned the exercise movements during the event.
Japan. The Kanazawa Ha'akuman Goku Festival is the largest annual festival in the city of Kanazawa, drawing more than 400,000 visitors each year. Falun Dafa practitioners participated in the event on June 7th. Wearing bright yellow t-shirts and white pants, practitioners danced gracefully and energetically to the traditional folk songs of Kanazawa, drawing the spectators' praise. They held up banners with the words, "Falun Dafa is good, truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good," to introduce the practice to passers-by. Their performance and the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance were well received. The morning of the festival, practitioners did the Falun Dafa exercises at Shirko Memorial Park in Kanazawa City. The park is popular with local residents who often go there to walk and exercise. The peaceful scene of the group practicing drew many people to stop and watch.
Switzerland. The newly elected City Council of Geneva, Switzerland, held its first plenary session on June 3rd to thank the legislators for supporting their efforts to stop the Chinese Communist Party's persecution. Falun Dafa practitioners in the French-speaking region of Switzerland delivered letters to every legislator expressing thanks for voting in February to pass a resolution condemning the CCP's state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting of practitioners in China. Following Swiss legal procedures, the resolution was submitted to the federal parliament, which will decide on subsequent measures. Mr. Emmanuel Dion, a city council member from 2019 to 2023, was re-elected this year. He is the initiator of the resolution.
Germany. Falun Dafa practitioners set up an information booth at the entrance to the city of Mannheim's shopping district. They demonstrated the exercises, distributed truth-clarifying materials, and introduced a practice to passers-by. They also exposed the 26-year-long persecution of Falun Dafa by the CCP. Many people signed a petition calling for an end to the persecution. In the city of Inholstad, Falun Gong practitioners held an information event on May 16th. A booth visitor named Harry signed the petition against the persecution and said that he believed that totalitarianism without faith is doomed to fail, and faith can guide people to the right path. Practitioners from Germany and France introduced Falun Dafa to people during an event at the Augustiner Platz in the city of Freiburg on May 31st. A Chinese woman responded warmly to a practitioner who greeted her as she walked by the information booth. Pointing to the information on organ harvesting, the woman asked if it was true. The practitioner told her, "Not only is this happening, but the real situation may be more severe than we realize. It could be much worse." The practitioner explained to her the importance of quitting the CCP on the global Quit the CCP website, and the woman said, "I will renounce my party membership with my real name." She shared, "I have friends from school, teachers who practice Falun Dafa. I know all of them are good people."
Australia. Practitioners held a World Falun Dafa Day celebration at Trinity Beach Community Hall on May 18th. The free 2.5-hour event introduced Falun Dafa and taught participants the exercises. A practitioner read a letter sent by Bree James, a member of the Legislative Assembly of Queensland for Barron River. It said, "World Falun Dafa Day is an opportunity to recognize and celebrate a practice that has positively impacted millions of people around the globe. In Queensland and across the world, the contributions of Falun Dafa practitioners to their communities are worthy of recognition. Their dedication to peaceful living, community harmony, and personal growth enriches the social and cultural fabric of our society. At the end of the day, all the participants said they benefited from learning the Falun Dafa exercises and celebrating World Falun Dafa Day. Little Sophie turned to her mother and said, 'This is the best day of my life. I hope to come again next week.'"
The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. Mr. Zheng Shiyi, an 87-year-old resident of Suining City, died on February 22nd this year, a decade after he was sentenced to prison for practicing Falun Gong. Mr. Zheng always refused to renounce Falun Gong and was arrested multiple times. In 2015, Mr. Zheng was arrested after he was reported to have put up self-adhesive stickers bearing Falun Gong information. More than 10 officers broke into his home and seized him and his son, Mr. Zheng De Liang. A court sentenced Mr. Zheng to 3.5 years and his son to 3 years. Another local practitioner, Mr. Huang Yi Chao, who helped put up the stickers together with Mr. Zheng, was also arrested and sentenced at the same time. He later died as a result of the long-term persecution. While in prison, Mr. Zheng was brutally tortured and forced to take medications. By the time he was released, his health had been severely damaged. He eventually became completely incapacitated. Despite his condition, the local police still harassed him at home numerous times. They forcibly drew his blood and photographed him. He died on February 22, 2025, at the age of 87.
Ms. Sun Guizhiang of Heilongjiang Province was arrested on March 27 this year and sentenced to 8 years to prison for her faith in Falun Gong. In 2003, Ms. Sun's home was raided, resulting in her arrest and that of her husband and son. Ms. Sun's son was held in a metal cage for 5 days before being released. Her husband was detained for 50 days. Ms. Sun was later sent to a psychiatric hospital after food provided to her was laced with unknown drugs, affecting her mentally. The family was made to pay a large bribe to get Ms. Sun released on bail, but only after she underwent a psychiatric evaluation at her own expense. The long-term involuntary drug administration and relentless persecution caused significant damage to her health. In 2017, three officers seized Ms. Sun's at her son's wedding and took her to the police hospital for a physical examination. She was found to have open pulmonary tuberculosis and denied admission to the detention center. The police then released her. The police arrested Ms. Sun again on March 27, 2025. She stood trial on April 2nd and was sentenced to 8 years in prison by the Amman District Court soon afterwards.
Mr. Xu Yunyan, a 62-year-old resident of Yongxing County, was arrested during a police sweep of local Falun Gong practitioners in July last year. The police took his fingerprints, footprints, and blood samples against his will before taking him to a detention center. He was later sentenced to 2 years in prison. This is not the first time that Mr. Xu has been targeted for his faith. He has been repeatedly arrested over the past 2 decades. He first served a 7-year term from 2003 to 2010, where his leg was fractured and teeth broken as a result of torture in prison. After another arrest in 2015, Mr. Xu was sentenced to 5.5 years. He was again subjected to various forms of abuse and torture during his second prison term.
A displaced Beijing woman in her early 60s was arrested in mid-May and is now being held in a detention center for her faith in Falun Gong. Ms. Wang Xuhui's arrest came 1 year after she was forced to live away from home, after the police threatened to arrest her because of her efforts to seek justice for her daughter, Ms. Sun Shuang. Ms. Sun, 36, also a Falun Gong practitioner, was arrested in 2023 for distributing calendars bearing information about Falun Gong. She was indicted and sentenced to 5 years in prison this year. Ms. Wang has been repeatedly persecuted over the years. She was first arrested in 2005 and was held for an unspecified period. In 2008, she was arrested again. Her husband, who does not practice, was also arrested. A few years later, in 2012, Ms. Wang was again arrested and this time sentenced to 2.5 years of hard labor. This was the third known forced labor camp term she was given. The guards held her in solitary confinement and didn't allow her to take showers or buy food. She became emaciated with a hunchback as a result of the torture. Ms. Wang was arrested 3 more times in 2017, 2019, and 2020. Following her last arrest in 2020, she was sentenced to 3 years in prison.
Forum on Transnational Repression Against Falun Dafa and Shen Yun, a forum discussing the CCP's escalating transnational repression against Falun Dafa and Shen Yun, took place at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. on June 6th. Its focus was the CCP's campaign of misinformation and legal warfare in the U.S., attacking Falun Gong and Shen Yun performing arts. Elected officials, China experts, and lawyers were speakers. Attendees included staffers working for members of foreign affairs committees in the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives, in addition to media reporters. Several speakers said the regime must be held accountable and action needs to be taken to stop the CCP from launching terroristic attacks that threaten U.S. national security. Former law professor at Beijing University, Yuan Hongbing, attended the event virtually and shared revealing information provided by high-level contacts inside the regime. He stated Xi Jinping held a secret meeting prior to the 20th National Congress in China. He mentioned Falun Gong's development outside of China and his plan to initiate another round of persecution outside of China. According to reports, the CCP tactics can be summed up to one central focus and two directives. The central focus is on character assassination of Falun Gong's founder in a bid to shake the foundation of the spiritual group. The two basic directions include information warfare and legal warfare. The information warfare is to mobilize the mainstream media and Western society using defamation, lies, and other tactics to strike on all fronts against Falun Gong and disrupt the influence of Falun Gong practitioners in international society, and also to provide false information to media outlets founded by Falun Gong practitioners with the ultimate goal of damaging the reputation of these media. Professor Yuan said, "One of the main tactics they employ is to infiltrate mainstream media in the West. They're using greed as a lever, using bribery, causing these media to publish articles that are designated to attack Falun Gong practitioners, provided by the CCP's proxy. They're also trying to mobilize the Western legal system against the founder of Falun Gong and Shen Yun Performing Arts, as well as other media and other organizations created by Falun Gong practitioners, suing them and also using false accusations, trying to use this legal procedure using false accusations to destroy the reputation of Falun Gong and to destroy the reputation of Falun Gong practitioners. They're also trying to drag out the legal process and waste their time, effort, and money. So whether it's information warfare or legal warfare, the CCP regime is trying to use the legal system in the West, as well as the media outlets, to complete its conspiracy against Falun Gong." Professor Yuan said, "From the CCP's legal and information warfare against Falun Gong practitioners in the United States, we can see the CCP's United Front infiltration is already becoming a severe threat to America's national security." Staff Director of the Congressional Executive Commission on China, Piero Tozzi, said he has been following the CCP's blatant campaign of transnational oppression for years. He observed that the CCP has targeted Shen Yun hundreds of times since its inception in 2006 by threatening performance venues that host them, sponsors that support them, and even the performers and their family members. He mentioned that threats are also directed at members of Congress who are supportive of Falun Gong. He mentioned the case where the Department of Justice convicted two men in 2024 for acting as illegal agents of the PRC government. The director said, "I strongly condone steps to provide justice for the global victims of the CCP's repressive regime, just as much as I condemn the actions of the CCP. But much more needs to be done to prevent further harassment and violence." Congressman Smith, along with colleagues in the Senate, previously introduced the Transnational Repression Policy Act. Director Tozzi added, "There needs to be accountability. Justice delayed is justice denied."
Members of Canadian Parliament call for action against CCP's transnational repression and forced organ harvesting. at a May 28th Falun Dafa event on Parliament Hill commemorating the 33rd anniversary of Falun Dafa's introduction to the public, Canadian members of Parliament called for action to counter the CCP's transnational repression of Falun Dafa. They said that instances of CCP's interference and transnational repression have occurred in Canada and threatened Canada's sovereignty, safety, and freedom. It was also emphasized that it is a crime to make death threats and bomb threats. The legislators urged Canada to take swift action against this transnational suppression and designate those involved as members of a terrorist organization. The Falun Dafa Information Center reported that over the past year, there have been more than 100 anonymous messages threatening violence against Shenyun Falun Gong practitioners and elected officials who support Falun Gong. The threats mention bombings, shootings, rape, and murder. MP Scott Reed said that the CCP suppression of Falun Gong has become more sophisticated about finding ways of trying to use instruments in other countries to silence advocacy for Falun Dafa and Shenyun. Garnet Jenis, MP and co-chair of the Parliamentary Friends of Falun Gong in Canada, said, "I think there needs to be more awareness across the board about the impacts of foreign state-promoted misinformation. And I think there are a lot of different institutions that can fall victim to that or make the mistake of buying into certain narratives." He stressed, "We see continuing transnational repression targeting the Falun Dafa movement, targeting politicians, and targeting academic institutions. We need the government to step up and take these issues seriously." Member of Parliament James Bazan said the CCP's interference in Canada manifests on multiple levels, such as wolf warrior diplomacy and overseas Chinese police stations. He said, "We have to continue to be brave and call them out and stand up for our citizens so that they're not unfairly targeted by the Chinese Communist Party. And we have to make sure that we stop things like Chinese police stations that are right here in Canada. We've got to stop their diplomatic corps from what they're doing in intimidation and interference." Dan Mooys, MP, said that street attacks by the CCP's agents was unacceptable. He said the Canadian government and police agency should also take faster practical action to curb transnational repression, such as identifying those responsible as terrorist organizations. Several Canadian members of Parliament recently said they supported the U.S. Falun Gong Protection Act, which was unanimously passed in the U.S. House of Representatives on May 5, 2025. The bill, which to become law, must also be passed by the U.S. Senate and signed by the President, urges the U.S. government to sanction individuals involved in organ harvesting and their accomplices. The legislation would impose economic and visa sanctions against culpable individuals. Canadian members of Parliament who agreed that other countries should adopt similar legislation include members of Parliament Garnet Genius, Michael Cooper, James Bazan, and Kevin Lamoureux. In December of 2022, the Canadian Parliament passed S-223, an act to amend the Criminal Code and the Immigration and Refugee Protection Act relating to trafficking in human organs. This was considered a major legislation for Canada in targeting organ harvesting. MP Genius introduced that legislation. An act respecting countering foreign interference, Bill C-70, received royal assent in June 2024, aims to strengthen Canada's ability to respond to foreign interference, especially in preventing transnational repression. That legislation addresses transnational repression by expanding the powers of intelligence agencies, such as the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, establishing foreign influence, transparency registries, and strengthening law enforcement.
Thank you for listening to the Mingwe Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.